You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Today, I'm chatting with a return guest on the podcast, freelance session stylist, global artist for Redken, and his newest title, founder of Peak, an innovative piece of salon software technology I can't wait for you to hear about. The person I'm talking about is Richard Kavanagh, and for this episode, we're focusing our conversation on successful client consultations, how to have them, why they're so crucial to the client experience, to retention and our revenue, plus, of course, the incredibly exciting ways Richard and his latest venture are transforming the client consultation as we know it, a topic I'm totally passionate about. So without further ado, here is my chat with Richard. Richard, welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really pleased to have you back on the show.
Good morning. It's very nice to be back here.
So last time we had a great discussion, but this time we've got something really specific, something that's close to my heart. We're going to talk about the client consultation.
Yeah, the most important part of servicing a client.
Absolutely. Now, before we do, for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from in the world, and what you do.
Well, my name is Richard Kavanagh. I'm a New Zealander based in Sydney, Australia. I've been living here for the last 7 years because the weather's nicer than Auckland. and all the best Kiwis are here in Australia. I am a freelance session stylist, which means that I work as a hairstylist on photo shoots and fashion shows, creating looks for fashion brands, for their runway shows, for their advertising campaigns, and for editorial magazines like Vogue, Harper's Bazaar, and Elle, for example. I'm also the creative director for GHD Australia and New Zealand. I'm a global artist for Redken, and I'm Rodney Wayne's creative director.
So that's kind of a full list, I think, to put after your name.
You could say that.
Yeah, and you somehow have carved out some time to do some really interesting things around the client consultation. So let's dive in and just discuss, you know, what is the status of our industry in terms of how we're providing the client with a consultation? What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong?
Well, do you know what? I mean, we started this conversation by saying we wanted to talk about client consultation, and the most important aspect of any service industry, and particularly hairdressing, is the consultation, getting to know your client. Now, did you know that 97% of hairdressers believe that they do a full and thorough consultation for every client? That's fantastic, isn't it?
But only seven. I can imagine that.
Yeah, but only 7% of clients feel like they've ever had one.
Wow. Ouch.
Yeah, ouch, right? So there's some kind of massive disparity going on here. So you have to ask the question, what are we doing wrong? Because if the clients feel like they're not getting a consultation, clearly we're not giving them what they want. And I think that when we think of a consultation, if we think we give a consultation, we think, oh, same as last time? Or, you know, how's your hair today? A little bit of a trim?
What are we doing today?
I mean, what are we going to do today? That's, you know, that's not a consultation. What do you feel like? What do you want? All of those things, those questions are not, those are questions that are relevant during the process of a consultation, but they don't constitute a consultation. And, you know, I think if you look at those statistics, globally, the world's biggest product companies and the world's biggest partners in the hair industry are doing everything in their power and have been doing for the last 10 or 15 years to try and come up with a solution for this. Because clearly, if our clients are not getting what they want, it's not of benefit to our business. So how do we go about this? What are we going to do better? I heard Tabitha Coffee speaking recently in New Zealand at the Collective in Auckland a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, she talked about this as well. She said, look, guys, we've just got to do a better job. You've got to understand that when a client sits in your chair, they have a level of anxiety because it's not a regular experience for them. You know, it happens once every couple of months. They sit down with you for an hour or two. They are putting their sense of how they present themselves to the world in your hands. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge amount of trust, and at the same time, there's a huge amount of jeopardy in that relationship. They don't know that you're going to deliver. And if you're not communicating effectively, and if you're not giving them the consultation to make them feel comfortable and secure in the fact that you understand them, you get them, you understand their personality, you understand their lifestyle, you understand their aesthetic, and you understand what they like and don't like, then they're going to have moments of anxiety all the way through the service where they're thinking, oh shit, what's she doing now? Is this going to turn out okay? You know, how am I going to look at the end of this? How much is this going to cost me? They're going to have all of these moments of anxiety, and it's not going to, I mean, it's subtle and it sits in the background because it's often masked by the day-to-day conversations of what did you get up to in the weekend and how's your week and how's your dog this week? Did they get the operation? And, you know, all those conversations that we have with our clients mask that underlying insecurity that we haven't actually communicated with them very effectively.
I agree. I think the biggest thing that really stands out to me is that we forget how anxious our clients are. We're doing it, you know, 7 times a day, 6 weeks in a row, and they're here once for an hour. It's not every day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like to extrapolate on that idea, the little things like we as hairdressers go, oh, come through. Well, what does come through mean? Mm. You know, we know what come through means, but we... In our mind, we think that we're communicating, but what we're doing is using our own personal shorthand to communicate what we understand rather than actually articulating it effectively to each and every client. So, for example, when you say come through, what you mean is if you'd like to follow me over here to my workstation, I'm going to do a consultation with you in front of the mirror.
Yes.
But if you say that every time, it feels like a mouthful, but it seems like the right thing to say it if it's the first and only time you've ever said it to that person.
Absolutely. And without a doubt, it's like, why aren't we saying this?
Well, why aren't we? You know, because we use shorthand to abbreviate the things that we do over and over and over again because it makes sense to us. But it's not about us. It's about them. It's about the client, right? And we have to make sure that we remember it's about them.
It's because we're comfortable in our own house, aren't we? We're in there day in, day out. We have a certain level of comfort and we forget that this guest, particularly a new guest, doesn't know anything.
They don't. And you're right. You know, you get comfortable in your own house. You're like, oh, this is my space. I know where everything is. I know how everything operates. And we do forget that clients have a level of anxiety about coming into salons. And look, I hear this all the time. People say, I just don't feel cool enough. The coolest people I know feel really uncool going into a salon because there's all these, you know, very comfortable, confident, socially affable people chatting away in these social situations, looking beautiful and well-groomed, wearing fashionable clothes with great hair. And, you know, it's like, oh my God, I feel really uncool here. The music's great, the coffee's good, the cool magazines, all that stuff.
We forget actually that we're a little bit intimidating.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to work harder.
Yes.
To neutralize that intimidation factor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can even see that, you know, that comes from, well, who am I to be intimidating? I'm not intimidating. It's just me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, who am I to be this fabulous person?
But, you know, if you ask most hairdressers, you know, do you think you're intimidated? They go, oh, hell no. I'm a really friendly person. I love people.
Totally.
You know, most of us are really empathetic and we love people and we just want to make people feel good. And so I think we forget to see it from their perspective.
Yes, that's right. We need to hop into the mind of the client for that very moment and just
exactly.
see it through their eyes.
Exactly. Walk in their shoes for a moment.
For sure. So the opportunity here, Richard? What's the opportunity for us moving forward?
Well, there's a number of opportunities. I think that, I want to come back to this consultation opportunity because we do, clearly we're doing something wrong if most clients think they're not getting a consultation and most of us think we're doing one. So there is something we need to fix here for sure. But I think that there's a secondary opportunity here, and this comes from gathering a level of trust with your client that there's a missed revenue opportunity in our business with retail. And I know that, you know, all the product companies will tell you this, but for example, if you have a salon with 7 stylists working, and those stylists are kind of, you know, it's a good mid-level salon, it's doing business, it's an existing business. Those stylists at the moment across the industry as an average are selling 0.6 of a product per day.
Ow.
Now look, this is the big one. If those 7 stylists in your salon upped their game and sold 1 product each per day.
Yes.
Right? Not a big ask, right?
Instead of
selling a little over a half a product a day, sell 1 a day.
Yep.
If they sold 1 a day, that would equate to, on average, almost $50,000 of profit per annum for the salon.
So you're not talking revenue, you're talking profit.
I'm talking profit, clear profit. So if I said to you as a salon owner, hey, I'm going to give you 50 grand and you get to spend it on whatever you like this year. That's just for you. It's free money. And then next year, I'm going to give you another 50 grand and that's free money, right? And I'll do that again the year after. What would you do if I gave you 50 grand of free money every year?
Oh, well, I know what I would do with it, for sure.
I know what I would do, too. There's lots of things I would do. I'd go surfing in the Maldives straight away. And I'd buy myself some nice new shoes.
Yep.
And I'd give the salon a lick of paint and buy some new chairs. But you know what I mean? Like, if I said that, and actually that's essentially what you're doing. As a salon owner, if you can get your stylists to up their game to sell just 1 product per day, that's essentially what you're getting is 50 grand of free money every year.
Do you know what the most disturbing part for me is actually, Richard?
What's that?
I want the 50K, don't get me wrong. Mm. But if you've got 7 stylists who are doing what, averagely 7 clients a day each, and they're walking out with 0.6 each, you can't tell me that those 7 clients times 7 stylists, so 7 times 7, that those clients are going home and they're not washing their hair.
No, they're not.
You know, they're buying not. Shampoo from somewhere.
They're buying shampoo from somewhere. They're buying conditioner. They're buying treatments. They're buying styling products. They're buying styling tools. They're buying it from somewhere.
So
where?
Question mark.
Now, I wanted to give you another stat because I'm loving stats today. Globally, 93% of clients are not recommended any take-home hair care or styling. Not recommended. Of those 93%, 85% of them would purchase something if it were recommended.
Okay.
So do you know what that tells me? That says that 7 out of 10 clients that come into the salon want to purchase product, have money in their pockets to purchase product, and are not buying anything because they're not being recommended it.
Because actually only 0.6 of one of them is buying.
Exactly. And so I was talking to the National Sales Director for Kerastase the other day, and they did a mystery shopper program. And I don't know if I can share these statistics too much, but basically it was a massive failure. They gave people money to go out and talk to hairdressers and intimate that they would like, you know, like basically drop hints that they would like to buy some product.
Yeah.
And I think that I think only 17% of them came away with either a sample or a product.
Yeah.
These are people who had money in their pocket and were specifically tasked with going into a salon and hinting that they liked the smell of this and that they, you know, had heard about this product or that product and what do you think would be good for me?
I think the thing is that it's clear that we're doing a disservice, but it's actually annoying for the client. Now, I have a regular, she used to work for me, I have a regular stylist. Sorry, my dear friend, if you're listening to this, I have to tell the story. Now, we are very close friends. She was my bridesmaid. She still does my hair. And she, despite this friendship, because it's easy in a friendship to not give the full service, you know, busy chatting and whatever, 9 times out of 10, she 100% upsells me and does all the things. And I love it because, you know, that's what we're here for. But I have to say, the one day, this actually happened recently, the one day I actually was out of shampoo. I needed shampoo. I went in there with the intention to buy. And, you know, we talked about the weekend and the trips and all the things. And it was the one day she didn't ask me, because I always think it's funny when she upsells me, you know, given our relationship. And the one day she didn't. So I left without the shampoo and I went home shampooless. How annoying, you know. And I actually bought from the supermarket because the very I know I'm publicly declaring this, but because what am I going to do in the shower tomorrow? Getting over to her salon is logistically challenging for me. And I thought, my God, we're doing this to our clients.
We are. You know? We're doing it to ourselves.
It's annoying as a client to not have purchased that. And I'm now not caring for my hair, and I've given it to my kids and I've bought the right stuff now, just for the record. But, you know, it was just interesting to be on the other side of the coin and say, actually, when we don't do this, this is, we're doing a disservice, because it's actually, you know, it's a frustration point.
It is a frustration point. And look, I understand the hairdresser's point of view as well, because we don't want to sell to our clients. And from a psycho-emotional point of view, let's get scientific about this, there's actually, and I mentioned this jeopardy that is involved in the relationship between hairdresser and client. From a client point of view, the jeopardy is she going to make a mess of my hair? Am I going to look okay when I leave here? Am I going to look like myself or the best version of me? How am I going to feel, right?
Yeah.
We get that. From a hairdresser's point of view, there's a whole lot of like subconscious anxiety around the relationship. Is this person going to like me? Am I going to do a good enough job? Am I going to mess up her hair? I hope not. Am I going to give her what she wants? Will she come back? Will she pay me? Will she badmouth me to her friends, or will she talk me up? My livelihood. So in the subconscious, right, in the reptilian brain, the survival part of the brain is going, my survival depends on this. Is this person going to like me? Are they going to come back? Are they going to give me money? Am I going to be able to eat and pay the rent? And so that underlying anxiety exists, creating a sense of jeopardy in the relationship. So both parties feel this jeopardy subconsciously. Of course, I'm talking subconsciously. It's not, these are not conscious thoughts. And so we feel, as hairdressers, really uncomfortable about the idea of trying to sell, in inverted brackets, to our clients, trying to instigate a conversation about, you know, upselling. It feels awkward, even though we know in our conscious minds and in our logical minds that it's the right thing to do. It doesn't feel right. It feels hard. And that's the part that makes it difficult to do. And I believe that it's because it feels awkward is why hairdressers are not doing it.
I would agree. How do we overcome this?
Nice segue. So actually, you know, this is something that's been a problem in the industry for a long time. It's been something that's been really dear to my heart as a hairstylist, as a salon professional for 20 years, as a freelancer for the last, actually, oh my God, what year is it? I've been freelance for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
What are your age?
That's a long time. That means I started when I was 3 as a freelancer.
Three.
Yeah. Now, this is something that's been really dear to my heart. And I've been involved in a project for the last couple of years, working with some big tech brains and some really big business brains to bring to life a solution for these two problems for the hairdresser. And one of the questions we started with was, how's technology going to integrate into the salon industry to enhance the client experience? In other words, to make the client's experience better and to empower the stylist to do their job. And when I say empower the stylist, what I mean is, how are we going to integrate technology to take away the anxiety from the stylist and the client, to free the stylist up to do the sort of creative work that they want to do, to be free to empathize with their client without the anxiety or worry of, oh my God, have I done the consultation right? Have I followed all the right steps? Am I going through the process correctly? All those things that are sort of outside the normal realm of the creative process. Mm. And so we've developed a world first piece of technology that we've actually got 5 patents registered for in the United States. It's called PIIQ, P-I-I-Q. And it is I'm going to say some words here, which kind of makes sense, but until you see it, it's very hard to comprehend. Mm-hmm. It's a digital mirror with built-in camera, built-in beauty lighting, a heads-up display, which is in the mirror, an embedded consultation methodology that takes the stylist and the client on a visual journey, an interactive visual journey over about 90 seconds to understand the client's lifestyle and visual aesthetic. It uses 120-point facial recognition technology to give you a face shape and skin tone analysis, matching you with celebrities that have the same features as you, enabling you to have a targeted hairstyle conversation about what works for your face shape and face type. Then it creates social media opportunities for the salon to share on the client's social feed. So not on the salon's social feed, but on the client's social feed, spreading the word about your work, your salon, your ability to consult effectively, your ability to connect with your clients. And it also integrates prompts, because we've got an on-screen, on-mirror display. It's hard to understand this until you see it. Because it's literally a mirror. Like, you sit there, it's a mirror, and then when the display needs to happen, the display just appears on the mirror as if by magic. It's literally like magic.
Yeah.
And so during the service, we offer prompts to the client to, let's talk about your ultimate hair care regime. Because by prompting the client to talk about their hair care regime, it gives them a reminder to instigate a conversation. Now, if you think about it from a hairdresser's point of view, if your client asks you, oh, what should I be using in my hair? Conversation open. I will tell you everything you need. This is your regime. You need this, 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 and this. And this will make your hair good, right? But if I have to instigate the conversation, I feel like a Tupperware salesman inviting my friends over to my house for a party and going, have I got a deal for you? You know what I mean?
It doesn't sound like it in my voice. I am so excited about this. It's like ridiculously, I just think, well done. It's amazing.
Thanks.
It's like, I used to have this sort of philosophy, as much as I possibly could, is not to rely solely on the human, because humans are variable. Mm. You know, they arrive at work today and they broke up with their boyfriend last night and they're not on form. Mm. So how can we create systems and processes within the business that embrace the human and the creativity, but don't rely on it solely? And I think it fits into that box amazingly, while elevating the whole brand experience. I'm so excited.
I'm really excited. And as we talk to salon professionals about this the world over, you know, and we share with them the vision and some of the updates on the technology, and they see the technology in action, the hardware itself and the software, they just go, oh my God, this is incredible. I can just imagine the theater of this in the salon with lights coming on and people having their pictures taken in the chair and the facial recognition technology. And one of the things that that I built into it, which I thought was a really good idea, and my business partners, who are all kind of, you know, tech people and corporate money people and things like that, who are very clever people, way cleverer than me, they kind of didn't understand the value of this. But I said, we have to build a 360 degree scrollable capture of the finished look. To store on the client's records, you know, and they're going, so we built it. And I'm like, no, we'll build it. And we built this methodology of, at the end of the service, using the inbuilt camera in the mirror and the beauty lighting in the mirror, we can capture a 360 degree visual of the finished look that gets stored on the client's records. So the next time they come in for a service, you can literally bring their last thing up on the mirror in front of them, and by swiping across the screen of the tablet, you can rotate their head 360 degrees to see every angle of their last finished look the last time they were in.
You know that people listening right now are just drooling with excitement to have this in their salon. Like, if I still had my salon, I would be at the front of the queue. I want this.
Mm. Yeah, people are ordering it from all over the world. You know, like, we're getting orders from the US, from Japan, from China, from the UAE, from the UK. Yeah, it's phenomenal. And, you know, we haven't even told anyone how much it is yet.
Yeah, that's right.
They're just going, yes, I'll have it.
Yes, I want one too, just in my home.
Yeah.
What about in terms of understanding what the client's need wants are? Tell me a little bit about, you know, that her experience and the types of things, the touch points.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about how important it is to kind of get inside your client's mind. to understand her before you can start recommending what sort of hairstyle she wants. And there's kind of a few key questions that you should be asking regardless. One is, what's your morning hairstyling routine? You know, are you a wash and wear type of person? Do you do a bit of a quick style? You know, do you give it a go? Do you use your tools and products? Or are you an expert? Do you spend time styling your hair? That's going to determine what sort of haircut and finish you're going to give your client, right?
For sure, yeah.
But you don't want to give a wash and wear girl something that needs to be blow dried with a round brush and set with a curling iron.
Yeah.
You know, the other two things are, what sort of workplace do you work in? Do you work in a creative environment? You know, are you working with customers every day? Have you got, you know, is it important how you look? Do you work in a technical environment, or are you at home, or you non-customer facing? Or do you work in a corporate environment?
Yeah.
You know, that's an important question, because those things have a bearing on the parameters of the hairstyle. And then you need to know the color history. Have you never colored your hair? Do you occasionally, you know, do you do it the same all the time, or do you change it regularly?
Yeah.
I mean, these are things that we think we ask, but clearly we're not asking, because 97% of us believe that we're asking all these questions and doing the consultation. And we might think that we do that every time, but our clients are not getting it. They're saying, no, you're not doing that. So what we've done is we've developed this kind of a really fun interactive series of images. Now this is where we're going to get a little bit technical, so bear with me.
Okay.
I'll talk you through the client experience. So you walk into the salon. Hey, I'm here for my appointment. The receptionist says, nice to see you. Larissa's going to be with you in 5 minutes. Would you mind checking in with Peak? And we would have a check-in tablet sitting on the reception, right?
Okay.
So yep. She simply checks in, starts entering her name. She puts her name in, or a phone number, whatever details, and it gives her the option to check in with Facebook.
Yep.
Which, you know, we do a lot, right? We're always like, oh, check in with Facebook. Oh, that's easy. So we prefer her to do that, because that will make the Peak experience much easier.
Yes.
It will work if she doesn't, but it'll be even more targeted if she does. So she checks in with Facebook and she goes and sits down and has a cup of tea, waits. You bring her over to the workstation. She sits in front of the mirror, and on the mirror, you bring up, there's a little prompt that says, in order to give you the best possible consultation, we want to get to know you a little bit better. Our algorithm reads your social footprint and then populates a series of image fields. There's 9 image fields with images that are most likely going to appeal to you. So there's 9 image fields, and they're things like architecture, interior design, beauty icons, cars, lifestyle activities, like where would you go on a holiday and what do you do in your spare time? Yeah. The things I mentioned before, which are your work environment, your morning hairstyling routine, and your color history.
Yeah.
And on the screen are 4 options, and together she selects one of those options by tapping the screen. It takes about 90 seconds of just selecting options. It's really actually really engaging and fun. And at the
Richard,
end of
on the,
that,
on the screen or on the iPad?
So it's actually on it's not on the mirror. The mirror is not a touch screen. Now, we could have done a touch screen mirror.
Yep.
But
no, I get that.
Two things, smudgy fingerprints on the mirror.
Yep. No,
and then your client leaning forward and tapping the screen all the way through the service.
Yes, totally the right thing. Yep. I just wanted to visualize it. Yep.
Yeah. So there's actually a handheld tablet, which is hardwired to the mirror, which allows each stylist to log in with their own personal ID and get their appointment column on the tablet. On any of the mirrors, whichever one they choose to go to at any time during the day. Yeah. So the client goes through selecting these images, and you get this little 9 grid of pictures and GIFs that says you in a nutshell. So it gives you a really quick and deep understanding, something that would normally take 6 to 10 visits of your client coming in to get to understand that level of lifestyle preference happens in 90 seconds in an interactive conversation. And what happens is clients are going, oh my God, you get me now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
At the end of that, the lights on the mirror come on. Like, there was no lights there. You can't see anything. It's just a mirror. Then, boom, there's lights. It's quite magic. I'm still blown away that we've been able to do it.
Yeah.
Boom, there's lights come on and a little grid comes on. You line your face up to that grid, snap, and it does 120-point facial recognition technology, gives you one of six face shapes, eye color. There's a little drop-down menu for you to do hair density and texture, and you input all of that information together with your client having the dialogue all the way through, and it brings up five celebrities that have the same features as you. You tap on one of those, and it immediately opens a Google image search field of their latest hairstyles.
Very cool.
Mm.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's kind of the client experience. That whole experience takes, if you sort of muck around, maybe 2.5 minutes.
Okay, cool. That's super fast and super wow factor.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really fun. Like I developed the whole process, and the first time I got to do it on the prototype, I was like, oh, this is fun. I can't wait to find out what my, you know, what yes. me in a nutshell is. And yeah. like, that's weird. I know what it's going to be. I chose them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The engagement level. I think what we're finding from clients is that they're going, phew, finally my hairdresser is going to actually do a consultation that I want, because I want a lifestyle analysis, I want a face shape analysis, and I want a professional recommendation from me as an individual. I want it to be about me.
Richard, does the further down the process, is there some retail and home care recommendation? Does this fit into the process?
Yeah, it does actually. So after the consultation, while you're having the service done, you're sitting in front of the mirror, and a little prompt will just float up on the screen that says, let's talk about your ultimate hair care regime, or let's talk about what you need to maintain the style at home. Yeah. So what that does is prompts the client to have a conversation. The client has a conversation, initiates the conversation, or it may even prompt the stylist to initiate the conversation, because it's kind of taking the onus off them. It's there on the screen,
yes.
on the mirror. So the stylist then picks up the handheld tablet, goes into their inventory. There's a little kind of a simple access point on the tablet, which is there. They don't have to leave the client, and they select the three or five products that they think are ideal for that client, hand them back the tablet, and carry on cutting their hair. Yep. The client can then look at those products. They can select an individual product to bring up more information, like how to use it, what it's specifically for, what the ingredients list is, how much it is, etc. And once they've, you know, they can continue to engage in a conversation with the stylist about that or not. It's completely up to them. And then they can choose simply by selecting to purchase those products. And when they do that, they select one of two options, either collect from reception now, or have this product delivered home.
Wow.
So
it's so cool.
And what happens is either one they select, a message gets sent over to reception that says, you know, Jane's over there with Larissa having her haircut, and she wants this shampoo, this conditioner, this styling product, and this blow dryer. So the receptionist pops that all into a bag for her, adds it to her bill. And as a hairstylist, I never have to close a sale. I never have to go, oh, so you're going to buy that stuff? Because she's chosen to do it right there and then if she wants to.
Yeah. This is so cool, because actually those stylists that are switched on and want to be successful are just going to be power users. And they're going to power forward in all of those KPIs. And those that are average and scared and have anxiety around this process are going to improve without even having to really take action. And it, you know, it's like once they start to see success and they start to see the client engage and realize the client wants it and it's actually not about them at all, then they will power forward and become power users. All right, super excited.
Me too. I'm pumped.
Absolutely right. The question that's on everybody's the tip of the tongue right now is when is this coming? How can I get hold of it? Where can people find it?
Peikdigital.com, PIIQdigital.com is our website. At the moment, there's just a brief introduction to Peik and an inquiry page. So our team is just making sure that they take everyone's details and get back to them and let them know what's happening. In approximately 10 days or 2 weeks, we will be releasing our Peak Pioneers program. So we'll be offering the opportunity to 100 salons and only 100 salons to be a part of the Pioneer program. So that's a, like an early adopters program. So they will be...
When this podcast goes live, you need to take action straight away.
Straight away.
Yeah.
Because
timing.
Yeah. Look, 100 salons is not many, you know, and that's across Australasia. So those salons will be part of the Pioneer program. They'll be given the opportunity to be in our PR campaign when we're on television talking about this, when we're in the press talking about this. We'll be driving consumers to go and have a peak experience in those salons. There's lots of other opportunities, including a very, very special price for those Peak Pioneers. Now on that, like what we've tried to do, I've tried to look at this from a salon owner's perspective and go, you know, I need this, but my business is, you know, a high cash burn business. I don't have a huge amount of spare revenue. How much is this going to cost me? Because it sounds expensive.
Yeah.
So what we've done is we've developed a system whereby there's no upfront cost for the salon. So they don't have to pay anything upfront. They simply sign up for a 2-year plan. It's like getting a new phone, right? You get a new phone, you go and sign up for 2 years, and the kind of cost of everything's built into the subscription. So it's the hardware, the software, all built in. And it works out to, if you sell one extra product every 2 days, it's cost neutral. It costs nothing.
Amazing.
So it's like about the same as having 2 cups of coffee a day per mirror.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. I mean, I've got no doubt in my mind that you're going to nail that just even without doing anything, because the client holds the device.
Well, exactly. It's right there. I mean, everybody who sees it knows that their retail revenue is going to increase. And like we said before, if your stylists go from 0.6 to 1 products per day, that's an extra $50,000 in revenue every year, in profit every year.
Totally.
Right. And so this is going to help you go, I believe, and I feel that based on the statistics, this is going to at least double your salon retail revenue.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. All right. I think we've got some excited, pumped people because of the timing of this podcast release. At the time that it was released, I know some people listen to it a little bit later. If you're interested in getting in that pilot program, you need to take action fast. PeakDigital.com. Thank you so much for sharing not only your exciting new development, but actually allowing us to hop in the head of our client and think a little bit differently about what we're doing. And also speaking for the voice of the client and what she actually wants, and reminding us to really think about that. It's been amazing.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me talk about this. This is, in 30 years, this is the most exciting thing I've ever been involved in.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's a topic actually from my own background and journey that's very close to my own heart. So I'm really super pumped that we could have this conversation. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And please keep us in touch with the latest developments and what's happening. We would really like to stay on the journey with you.
I'd love to do that. Hey, can I share a quote from Heinrich Rohrer?
Please.
Science means constantly walking a tightrope between blind faith and curiosity, between expertise and creativity, bias and openness, between experience and epiphany, between ambition and passion, and between arrogance and conviction. In short, between an old today and a new tomorrow.
That's awesome. That's very appropriate, because that's exactly where you are.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Yeah, that's really cool. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thanks.
And we'll have to have you back again.
I would love to be back again and talk to you soon. I'd love to share some of the stories about our salon users having success.
Fantastic. Thanks, Richard.
All right, cheers.
Well, there you have it. That wraps another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now, I wanted to ask you, are you ready to escape your fully booked column so you can devote your time to actually growing your business? Maybe having a team you can trust to handle daily client care and management without constantly double checking. How about actually going on a 2-week holiday without sacrificing 2 weeks of income, let alone coming back to a list longer than when you left? If that's you, then it's time to join the Salon Owners Collective Hub, where you get all the training, resource, and support you need to get out from behind the chair and into a space of having the time to grow your team, expand your business, and skyrocket your income, all without working crazy hours to make it happen. Every month we have new trainings, Q&A coaching sessions, not to mention the daily support of fellow business owners who are right alongside you on the journey to growing a profitable salon. If you're ready to make greater freedom, bigger profits your priority, and it's time to raise your scissors in the air and declare that it's time to make a change, head to the salonownerscollective.com or to the link that are in our show notes on this episode to learn more about the Salon Owners Collective Hub and what you'll get if you come and join the community. And as always, thank you for joining me, and I hope to see you inside the hub.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.